Welcome to the Blockchain Practitioners Podcast. On this podcast, we try to learn something new about an industry which will, in a few years, affect the lives of us all.
Hey!
Welcome to the Blockchain Practitioners Podcast.
Cool. That's a great start.
Yeah, awesome start for our first ever together podcast. This is going to work fine. Awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, thanks.
So we're doing this podcast because we have plans, right, Stella?
Yes, we have big plans for 2023. So first of all, thank you to our community for following us for now a year and a half. We're super excited to build this year. We decided to try out a couple of new things and we hope that you're going to like it. So today, together for the first time, we're going to talk about the news in the crypto space. The hottest topics.
Yeah. So do you guys have any topics?
Yeah.
I have two.
Okay. Shall I start? Ladies first, or you want to go?
Of course.
Sure. Shoot.
For me, I think the biggest surprise was the fall of Nexo. Or I don't even know if you can really call it the fall, because it was very blurry, everything that happened. But I was really, really shocked because for me, Nexo is quite a big exchange. I mean, I was personally using it for a while and, you know, it came as a big surprise.
Yeah, it all started with FTX, right? The big collapse there. I read it's actually Binance's fault. I don't know, it was a testimony from the guy. Oh, this American guy who gave testimony.
What do you mean Binance fault?
Do you think that... So Binance had like a big stake in FTX.
Mm.
And to get regulated, I think Binance had to comply with something, but they didn't. And they refused to. And so FTX was then forced to buy back the shares at such an incredible rate that they lost liquidity. And then by the end, Binance openly posted something on Twitter. I don't know the complete story, which then indicated that FTX was in trouble, which then started the whole thing. Apparently, that's the story I heard from the testimony from this American guy.
That's one of the theories, but I think that now a few proofs also have come to show that this is not the main theory. To be honest, I haven't followed so much about the FTX scene because it kept going and going and going and going, and every day so many news came out. I just didn't follow the story that much.
The cool thing with Nexo is I got the news like when it was happening, because it was happening in Bulgaria. So a friend of mine called me and they were like, they're storming the offices, like the special squads are there kicking down the doors and taking people's laptops and phones left and right. And I was like, what the fuck?
Wow. Yeah.
Bulgaria. Hell yeah. You know how people are like, America. Fuck yeah. At this time it's Bulgaria. Hell yeah. We got the crypto queen. She kind of stole everybody's money and left for Greece. Raina, what was her name? Raina Ignatova?
Yeah. No, Ruja Ignatova. Have you heard of her?
Ruja Ignatova. Ruja Ignatova.
Yeah, this was
first time I'm hearing about her.
Crazy, crazy story. I don't remember how many billions were stolen because of her, basically. But it was in the early days of crypto. And she was from Bulgaria, so that kind of... and I heard, yeah. I heard that there was... Nexo was kind of accused of having ties with her. I think it was 2016.
Sorry?
I think it was around 2016, 2017.
Oh, it's right when I got into crypto, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, with FTX and everything else, I mean, you had BitConnect as well. Like, if you have a new technology, people are just going to misuse it left and right. That's just how that space works. And that's why it's both a blessing and a curse. that regulators are now looking at crypto and trying their best to regulate it, because the more it gets regulated, the safer it is, the more investors and people will flock to it and use it. But on the other hand, everything is a restriction, right? So you have this amazing new free technology that can change the world, and then you have big powers that are just gonna try and mold it into something they can control. And so it's really interesting to see what they're gonna do with the whole
I mean, it's always like that, right?
The whole space.
That balance between safety and freedom. Always a dilemma.
Yeah.
I think the interesting thing about Nexo is that I hear a lot of speculation that it has to do a little bit with the political change in Bulgaria, because that's where I'm from, and we've had a very unstable political situation for the last 2 years. And I hear a lot of people saying that it's kind of to show that the police are actually doing something, that they crack down on them. So it's not so much driven by actual evidence as much as the need to act on some kind of whistleblowers, or I guess not exactly whistleblowers, but just things floating in the air.
It could be. I guess time will tell us. Let's see. I'm very curious about that, but it came as a big surprise to me. So that was the news I wanted to share with you. What about you, Stephen? You mentioned you had two.
So I wanted to talk about CBDCs because I looked a little bit into it, and it seems that, especially in Europe, I guess in America as well, I always feared that it was going to be like this totalitarian a tool that will be used by governments to stop privacy and to, you know, direct people towards whatever they want them to buy. But it seems that private interests and special interests are so well connected to our lawmakers that they now they have to put in provisions that would kind of provide privacy, because otherwise big banks wouldn't be able to scam people anymore, wouldn't be able to transfer money from like institutions to like black ops CIA workings between terrorists. And so because banks do that, and it makes them a lot of money, and so now they're trying to like get some sort of privacy into the CBDC, which completely ruins their whole plan. And so I found it really, really funny that lawmakers wanted to create this tool to like manipulate and control everything. But then because politicians are corrupt, they now need to put in provisions that will safeguard like big companies doing shady things, which is, I found that super hilarious, and also a good thing, because that means that the CBDC will be a hollow tool that will probably not even be used. So what do you think about that?
Let's see. So many countries right now are testing the use of CBDCs or examining the possibilities of implementing them. I'm very curious about the future of CBDCs, to be honest. I'm not super enthusiastic about it. I don't really see the added value, to be honest, of CBDCs. But I'm also, I think I have a very neutral opinion about them. What about you, Dimi?
Yeah, I haven't read that much on the topic of central bank digital currencies, so I can't really say an opinion. So I'm going to skip on this one. Better say nothing than say something stupid.
fair enough. Yeah, I'm really against it. Because there's just way better alternatives.
What alternative, for example?
Oh, I guess it still needs to be built, but we already have stable coins, for example. So, you know, why bother? I mean, the stable coins, they need to be regulated, and they need to be
that's the thing.
Made safe to use for everybody and stuff like that. But I always thought that crypto would just ruin banks and just create this whole new system. And then CBDCs came along and I was like, oh no, they're gonna stop the whole process. And now that I got the information about the private or the privacy regulations and stuff like that, I still have hope again that maybe our kids or the kids of our kids will be like completely free and own like 100% own their own stuff, and don't have to go through like intermediaries that take like 2 or 3 percentage points every time you do a transaction or whatever. So
yeah, I think
I'm optimistic now.
At the same time, when you say that stable coins provide a good alternative to CBDCs, I don't think it's true, because stable coins as we know them as of today, either they are tied to one company which can fail, which will need to be audited very, very frequently, but you know, it's still kind of not the most secure way. Let's say you hold USDT today and then all of a sudden it depegs, as we saw last summer with the Luna ecosystem and the crash of Terra. It depegs and then you don't have any more money and that's it. Whereas I think that the guarantee that the government brings behind the currency in terms of trust, it's still unparalleled for now. So alternative wise, I don't think that there is something that we can rely on.
That's what Steven said, right? That the stable currency needs to be a little bit more regulated, if I understood that correctly. And I think that's one of the biggest problems right now, because they're super unregulated. So people are like, we have the money, guys. Don't you trust us? It's there. It's there. Just trust us. You don't need to see them, right? We have them. And if you don't have
audits, we have gold somewhere.
It's there.
Somewhere.
I guess if you can really, if you have the security, that's the cool thing about banks, is that they provide you a certain level of security, although they crash all the time and then they close your bank accounts and stuff like that. So I don't know how secure they are in the long term, but they have the reputation of being secure. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of regulations in place, let's be honest. It's not like the Wild West in the banking system exactly. So I guess this is something that might happen with stablecoins, which will bring much more stability to the market itself in the future.
Yeah, I think like what we will use is probably not built yet. And it needs to be something that's really, really, really well distributed, like Ethereum, for example, or Bitcoin.
Bitcoin already exists.
It's manipulative. So it's not manipulatable. Something like that, yeah. The problem, again, this is a problem with like proof of stake. We saw it with Ethereum, right? Like if you have a government that can print $1 trillion in one day, then yeah, your system's in jeopardy.
Your system's fucked.
You can stake $1 trillion and then...
That's what you wanted to say.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't think that we're like in the early days of the internet, where you had like a gazillion search engines and stuff like that, and then one comes by and does it a bit differently and takes over the whole world. I think we're around that point now, when regulations are in place that will not change a lot anymore. You now have regulations coming that will like give a guideline. And I think once people build with those regulations in mind, we'll have something that resembles a Google that will just like explode.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see, right?
Let's see, I guess.
Let's see what comes.
Yeah. And then the second topic I had was, oh my God, did you see the Bitcoin bull run?
Oh.
Did you? Did you check it?
Something very funny that someone. I love this influencer called Achard. It's a French one. And he was talking about the enthusiasm around those days' prices. And he was like, I get it. But, you know, when you look at the big picture, we're still very much at the bottom of the
game. Of course.
So we don't know. For me, I really think that we don't know yet. I expect the bear market to run a little longer than this. So I think it's a nice rebound, but you know, as we say, the market never goes only in one direction. So we're going down, but with some corrections, and maybe this is just one of them. That's my opinion for now.
Financial advice, Steven, now, should we buy? Is the good time to buy?
I think the best time to buy was two or three days ago. But it's a big rally. It broke a resistance, so let's hope it just confirms, and then we can kind of start looking forward to another bull market, I hope.
Yeah.
It depends on how many more exchanges are gonna crash and burn, right?
Oh, it would be really funny if at the end we don't have any centralized exchanges anymore.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting because decentralized exchanges are still working and functioning pretty properly. But I don't know, talking about exchanges, have you seen that Coinbase and I think it was Crypto.com both fired another 20% of their workforce?
Whoa.
Yeah. It's so strange to me, you know, these, especially like Coinbase, they've been there from the start, right? That's the first exchange I used. They know that they're gonna be like times when there's an increase in customers with like thousands of percentage points at one point, and then the market will crash and burn. And it seems like they don't really anticipate that with their workforce, right?
And liquidity. Liquidity, yeah, they ended up with liquidity, I presume.
Or yeah. They just... Yeah, I mean, I get what you mean, that they didn't anticipate. But at the same time, you can never know when a bear market comes. So I guess when the bull market comes, like in the last couple of years, you just... Maybe live like there's no tomorrow. I don't know. No, I agree with you. True. I agree with you.
Yeah. On the other hand, it's really difficult as a company to like...
Yeah, because you also have to compete with...
Gain with a million customers and lose a million customers and have the same workforce. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We should get somebody on the podcast.
Somebody from... one of these companies?
From, yeah, of course.
We should have Nexo on our podcast in this case also. Nexo
FT. Yeah, or Friedman. I mean, we can reach him in jail, right?
Oh, perfect.
Mm-hmm. No, but I think that to go back to what you said and the fact that maybe they don't anticipate, and keep in mind that during times where everything goes right, they need to capt all of the new customers. So I don't know what's the percentage of many more people who are going to be interested in crypto and try to open an exchange, open an account on an exchange. They have to capt all of this demand, which becomes insane at once. So obviously you have to go bigger, much bigger, grow your workforce, grow your marketing. And it must be difficult to stay, like keep a very sober way of managing your company in those crazy times, as it was in a couple of years with the bull market. So anticipate and at the same time be able to accommodate for the demand must be quite a challenge, I imagine. So come, Coinbase, come on our podcast.
I agree.
I'm defending you. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So if any of our listeners know anybody who works at Coinbase, let us know so we can contact them and get them on the podcast.
Yeah, there are people who work directly there. Please come.
Or alternatively, if you're an exchange company or decentralized or centralized one, we'd be more than happy to hear your opinion on the future of SEX's indexes for 2023.
Promotional material. Cool. I guess I had Yeah, I wanted to discuss, for example, since this is the first episode that we have, which is a little bit different from the normal episodes, I guess I wanted to discuss more internally what we're going to do this year and the direction that we're heading as a podcast. I think that would be cool also to address.
Yeah.
Kind of the first of the year.
Of course, of course.
Cool. So to our audience, we've been speaking and... Yeah, I'm just going to give a short introduction and you guys can hop in and say, what did you just say? We never discussed about this. When did we speak about this? So yeah, exactly. We've been thinking the whole team of taking things professional this year. So really putting in more time into the podcast, releasing more episodes, different kinds of content. Also, I guess all of us talking on topics that interest us or just discussing the latest news in a little bit interactive podcast format for the whole team. And yeah, I think that's one of the big changes this year, accompanied by the fact that me and Steven have been talking to also doing consulting services for blockchain companies who need project management or need help with developing their projects. So this is also something exciting that we're willing to try out this year to see how it works and how it matches with our vision and plans. Yeah.
Yes, and you didn't mention the YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah. Stella?
Okay. So, guys, we're going to... So, as you know, we're already present on Spotify, Deezer, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Listen Notes. But we have decided to show our beautiful faces to YouTube and open a new channel there for you guys to see us and fall in love with one of the guys, or me, who knows? Who could blame you? Look at us.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Nah, I'm just kidding.
This is the part where people click on links to other videos.
Or they click on Stella's profile.
Yeah, probably.
Plus,
you can find us.
What about you, Steven? What would you say that? What would you add?
Yeah, so super exciting. All that stuff. One of the things that we're also going to try and do this year is try build a community, engage with you guys who are listening and watching a little bit more, which would be super interesting. And of course, we're going to try and do events. But that's something that is a bit further into the future. We still need to kind of mold that and find out what it is exactly that we're going to do. It's going to be online or offline or both. But yes, super excited to see what 2023 has to bring for the blockchain practitioners.
I think that was a really nice roundup.
Yeah, that was so beautiful. And Steven, your voice is so amazing. It's like perfect for this. But yeah, on these words of wisdom and kindness and mutual love for the team and for you guys, obviously, we wish you an amazing rest of the week. Thank you very much for your time and see you for the next episode.
See you for the next episode.
Next Wednesday and we'll have a new communal episode the week after, probably.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone, and thank you for watching.
Bye.
Oh, Dimi. Yeah, there's your hand. Okay. Let's do that again. We can do better than this, guys. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, right.
On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Blockchain Practitioners podcast, and I hope you learned something new today. If you are involved in an interesting blockchain project, feel free to reach out to us. Also, please like, rate, and review this podcast if possible, and share our content with everybody you think would like it. If you'd like some more information about us, you can visit us on LinkedIn or our website at blockchainpractitioners.com. Thanks again for listening, and see you at the next episode.